Blog Talk Radio.
We want to go back to the old school for a minute. Hand clapping and toe tapping. We want to visit our friends over in Chicago. Sister Albertina Walker, Inez Andrews, the Baron Sisters, Clay Evans, and Father Hayes and the Cosmopolitan Church of Prayer.
Hey, good evening, everyone. We're going to welcome you to DNK Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. We're live. We just want to say good evening to you. Happy Monday to you. Hopefully, you're having a blessed week and had a blessed weekend. As we get ready to get our show started, I want to introduce my co-host, Ms. Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening. Happy Monday.
And with that being said, we just want to just thank the Lord, who is the head of our lives, for giving us this platform, for all our sponsors and making it possible for us to be on another Monday, another day, another week. So with that being said, we're going to get right into the DNK Bible Break. Again, for all those that are tuning in on the phone lines, it's 847-277-9094. And for those that are listening on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.chaostalkwithderekoliver. That's how you can find us on the internet. And again, we want to thank you for all your support. And we get ready for another show. I think it's going to be another good show. And I'm going to turn it over to my wife, and she will get us started. But before you get started, I wanted to do this.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hope you're ready.
Let's get ready to
rumble! I'm sorry, I hope you're ready, because that's what we're going to do tonight. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Wow.
So I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Kay. She's going to open us up in prayer and get us started.
I don't know if I'm ready with that. My goodness. Whew. All right, Father God, we come to you this evening just asking that you remove us and let your spirit speak. We ask that you just let your will continue to be done in our lives. We ask that you bless every listener. We ask that you continue to watch over our families. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So I don't know what that let's get ready to rumble thing is, but all right, so I'm just going to start it off. Tonight, we're going to be talking about lost and found. And when I was thinking about this, what I came up with is lost and found, stolen identity found in Christ. So stolen identity found in Christ. And if I had a question to ask, I would ask what defines you. You know, many people are defined by their jobs, their titles, their status, whether they're the top of the line, CEO, CFO, head person, that defines who they are. Or some people are defined by their financial status, whatever their portfolio shows, their retirement, their savings, their investments. That's what defines them. Now, you also have some other people, you know, they're defined by how successful they are. So it could be anything from, you know, some people like to say everything I touch turns to gold. You know, I got the Midas touch. So some people just got such, I don't want to say good luck, but they have a lot of things that they do that turn out pretty well, and that defines them. Other people, it's based on their looks, their appearance, that defines them. They may look fly, sharp, debonair, whatever, you know, they got that good hair, you know how we do. Those things define them. And then the last thing is, you know, some people are defined based off of what other people say about them. You know, people hold them in high regards. They have them on this big pedestal, and that's what they go by because they feel important because that's how people treat them. And, you know, all of these things are great, but, you know, what happens when the foundation of your life is shaken or altered, you know, when circumstances change? What happens when you, you know, lose your job, lose your savings, your status, you lose your status, your looks start to deteriorate. You know, people that put you on that pedestal, they knock you down. You know, what happens then? What defines you then? Are you still defined by those external things? And, you know, I'm going to share this little part. I know my husband's probably going to think I'm crazy, but my husband, ever since I was a teenager, he loves my eyes. He's not the only person that loves my eyes. And it used to bother me so much, especially as a teenager growing up. It's like, okay, my eyes are hazel. They turn different colors based on whatever is going on. And I don't have any control over how my eyes are or anything like that. It used to bother me so much because I'm like, I'm more than my eyes. I want people to see me. I don't want them to be like, oh, you know, and they just keep talking about my eyes. And it used to bother me so much. And I didn't want to be defined by my eyes. And I'm like, what if I just get some same color contacts? Would you still like me then, you know? So as a teenager, that's one thing that I didn't want to define me, but it seems like everybody say, well, the girl with the eyes, that's what they're going to call me. And it's, I didn't like being defined that way. But a lot of people answer to a lot of things. And it depends on where you are in life, what you answer to. So prior to becoming a child of God, we were all lost. We didn't know our true identity. We did things based off of what our peers did, or we did things based off of what was popular at that time, or we just did things whatever pleased us. And we didn't have any type of regard for anything else besides what made us feel good. So in that part, I say we were lost. Our identity was We didn't know our true identity. So tonight I wanted to talk about, you know, our identity in Christ, just knowing who you are. You know, the world tells us that, you know, all the things that I just mentioned, they define us, and pretty much that we're nothing without them. And, you know, we have the like buttons, we have the share buttons, the watch and follow, just to let us know, you know, daily that we matter. And I know a lot of teenagers, I don't know about a lot of adults, but I do know a lot of teenagers, that liking and that following and all of that is what helps determine their attitude for the day, their self-esteem, and it defines them. And as grown-ups and as children of God, you know, we should be able to sow something into somebody's life, letting them know that that does not define them. There has to be a better option besides what the world says. And, you know, it's important that we, you know, don't look at the external worldly measures. You know, based on our identity, we need to see us the way God sees us. So, you know, when you think about who you are, we should automatically see ourselves as Christ sees us. And I don't think a lot of us does that. We are quick to put ourselves down. We're quick to say, oh, I need to do this, or I need to do that, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't know enough, or, you know, I can't do it. The word can't is in our vocabulary. It's just a lot of things that we put in the atmosphere that we need to change, that we need to, you know, seek the Lord and ask him to show us in those areas of what we're letting the world define us as. And I'm going to read this one scripture, and then I'm going to let my husband say something. So if you can, I'm going to be coming from Ephesians 1, and it's going to be verses 3 through 14. Emphasis on verse number 5. But Ephesians 1 through 14, and it reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." And I'm going to go back to verse 5. It said, "He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." We have been adopted. We are no longer lost. We are found in Christ, and that's where our identity lies. Husband, did you want to add anything to that?
There's a lot to add there. What was that scripture again? Ephesians 5?
Well, it's 1, 3 through 14, and the emphasis is on number 5.
Okay, 3 to 14, okay. I was made some notes when you were talking about your eyes and how you felt that they defined you. And I believe, my opinion, that everyone has something that defines them and it bothers them until they come to knowing who Christ is. You with your eyes, you have beautiful eyes. That was your, as a teenager. Mine was when we were growing up, because we were pastor's kids, we were always called PK, pastor's kids. And everyone always put us on a pedestal. And I hated it because we couldn't do no wrong. Even if we did wrong, it was covered up. It was, you know, we was PK kids. So, you know, and every time we went to church, we was always served first. We was always first in line. We never had to wait for anything. And we had that on us all the way through our teenage years into our early adults. We were pastor's kids, and I hated it with a passion. But when I started to find what you say our identity, I identified with it, and I used it for my good, not for my bad. And I think a lot of times we get these things the Lord blessed us with. He blessed you with those eyes. You can't help that they're beautiful. You can't help that they're gorgeous to look at. You can't help that it draws attention, because that's the Lord made you. He made you that way. Now that you're walking, because you've been found, you can use that to build his kingdom. It can become a conversation. It could become a using it to build up him. And a lot of times we are lost, because a lot of people uses their beauty that the Lord blessed them with, and they use it for their own good. They're lost with it. You have a lot of beautiful women who have nasty attitudes because they haven't found themselves in Christ yet. But the Lord blessed them to be beautiful. And if you have good hair, if the Lord blessed you with it, people talk about your hair all the time. You know, that's a blessing from the Lord. The Lord blessed you with it, and we need to walk in what he blessed us with. But a lot of us are lost because we're thinking that people are looking at us, oh, she's just pretty because she got those eyes. And no, you're beautiful because the Lord made you that way. He made you different. He made all of us different in some way, shape, or form. And when you're found and when you find Christ and you find your purpose, it helps you when you're doing the Lord's will. It will help you in ministry. So for those that are struggling with something that the Lord blessed you with, if you're looking at it the wrong way, then it will become a curse. If you're looking at it the right way, it becomes a blessing. It all depends on where you're at in your spiritual walk with the Lord. There's a lot of beautiful people who don't like to be called beautiful because they feel like it's a curse. It's not a curse. Once you find out your purpose in life, that becomes an asset. That becomes a way of doing the Lord's will. That's how I feel. That's how I take it. That's how I take the scriptures you read. Once you find your purpose, he's equipped you with everything that you need according to the scriptures you just read. He gave you everything that you need. And you may draw more people because they may feel the same way you feel. It may not be their eyes. It could be their hair. It may be their lips. It could be anything physical. You went through it, so you can know better than anybody else. But because you found who you are and your purpose, okay, now the eyes could become a sense of ministry. It could be a conversation breaker. All for what? To build up the Lord's kingdom, not yours. Or whoever going through what they're going through. That's just what I think. That's what I take on that. And a lot of people are lost. And they're lost, but they're not lost because they just don't know who Christ is and they don't know their purpose. That's all I'm going to say right now. You can continue.
Okay. In addition to what I just said, there was a point in my life where, if I could say it like this, I was aware, but it wasn't like I was present. I had a lot of verbal situations going on, and, you know, people can beat you down. You know, sometimes people are raised in a household or they end up in a situation where the words that somebody close to them are saying, they believe those words. If you tell your child that they're, I'm going to use a word that some people may not like, but if you tell your child that they're stupid or bang on a mountain, nothing, and you feed your child these negative things, they go into adults and that stuff sticks. So we got a lot of adults out here who have been verbally, mentally, emotionally abused as a child, even in their teenage years or even in their adult years, that are walking around and they don't really know their true identity. The enemy has used somebody to steal their identity. They're just walking around just lost. They may say the right words. They may know how to and act like everybody else that acts, you know, everybody else around them. But deep down inside, there is a situation that's going on where they don't know their value in Christ. And a lot of times, you know, I'm only speaking personally as a person that was in an abusive situation. I didn't know my value during that whole situation. I thought I knew, but until I got out of that situation and I look back on it, it's like, whoa, you know, I wasn't even woke, if I can use that word. It was just like I was just going through the motions. So the more I started learning about the Lord and letting the Lord do what he wanted to do through my life, that's when I started seeing my identity in Christ. But it's important that you ask the Lord for help. A lot of us, we think we can do things on our own, in our own power, in our own might, our own strength, and we can't. We need help. And that help can only come from the Holy Spirit. So we need to be asking. If not, we'll be walking around la-la in la-la land lost, thinking that we're on the right path and we could be on the wrong path. So just do a double check tonight to, you know, talk to the Lord. Make sure you walking this thing out based on how he sees you, not how you see yourself or how anybody else sees you, because his opinion is the opinion that matters. Because you can fool everybody else, but he knows what's really going on with you individually. So just talk to him about your identity. And, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, finish.
No, I was just going to say, you know, these T-shirts that we wear and you know, you see people with bumper stickers and all of that on their cars. Or my daughter, you know, she got tattoo scriptures on her body. And it's like, you see people doing things like that. And it's like, okay, it's fine. I commend you for, putting the Lord's name out there. But it's important that we don't do these things just for the attention. We got to be for real. If I'm going to wear this T-shirt, I better be living this thing. I can't be up here faking the funk and I got on this T-shirt. And a lot of us, we have the bumper stickers. We have all this stuff going on. And the minute somebody crosses the wrong way, especially in traffic, when ain't no telling what's going to come out your mouth, and you got that bumper sticker on your car. So make sure your identity is lining up with, you know, your identity in Christ. And you got to have the fruit of the Spirit when your identity lines up. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so you said something and you struck something that was true. And it's hard for people because, see, the enemy attacks, you know, because you have been predestined from before the beginning of time. So very early in your childhood, the enemy sent certain things that you didn't like. You didn't like the eyes. You didn't like being complimented because it was more to you than your eyes. Then you got into a verbal abuse and, you know, people just saying things that you had struggled with as a child. See, that's all part of the enemy. And then you get into your adulthood and you don't know, even though you may be saved, and I'm not talking to you, I'm just saying in general, people are saved, but they have no clue who they really are. They have not accepted what the Lord has given them. And regardless whether it's good, bad, or however it is, you're predestined to do great things. And we have to remember that. And when you tell your child, even when they messed up, you're predestined to do great things. Even though they're acting screwy right now, you're predestined. And what we have to do is you have to build up a little bit, but you also have to be straightforward at the same time. Because I'm just going to use you as an example. I'm not saying this is your story, but I'm just using what you gave me as an example because you do have beautiful eyes. But if you're young, I will tell you that can be a blessing and it can be a curse. You know, you can use it for good, but it also can be a curse if you don't watch it. And that can go in so many different directions because you have a lot of beautiful people who are told that they're beautiful and they're using their beauty the wrong way. And they've been hearing it since they was a child. So when they're adult, they think they can just use their beauty to get anything that they want. You have some of these people in the church because they're beautiful, they get the lead song. Because they're beautiful, they can do this. Because they're beautiful, they're using their beauty in the wrong way. And because they've been told that so often as a child, it's a trick of the enemy. And then you get all screwed up when you get into it, because now you're starting to see your purpose. It has nothing to do with your beauty. Even though he blessed you with beauty, you're using it for the wrong good. And it is important that we as Christians and believers, that's why it's important that we talk about lost and found tonight, because a lot of people, including myself, was lost even though I was saved. I didn't know who I was because I was listening to everybody else. You're a PK kid. You're a PK. So I'm supposed to get all these things. I'm supposed to be the man. That's not the way it works, because you're going to have to struggle with something. You can't be the man all the time. Your beauty can't get you out of trouble all the time. You know, and it's just important that we have to teach people, and we have to show it in our own lives. You know, you can be beautiful, but you have a purpose. And your purpose is whatever the Lord is leading you to do. It has nothing to do with your eyes or how beautiful you are. But it may be, that could be the starting point to lead somebody to Christ because you are beautiful. Or because you are have the gift to talk. And you can say this or you can say, whatever it is, you can use it for good. But a lot of people, especially people that are saved, use their talent that the Lord has given them with in the wrong way. And when I say this, it goes to a whole nother level. I don't want to get off the conversation, but if you can go out there and get in a gang and hustle in the street, you can take that same mentality and do it the legal way and be just as successful. The thing about it is you've been told you can't do nothing but sell dope or do this or do that, and that's what you do. But if you took that same energy and put it into something positive, you would still have that same hustle. You would still have that same result. You just went down the wrong alley. And that's what people do. A lot of young men think that they have to control women by talking down to them. That's their way of showing. That's not how you be a man. But if that's all they were taught and that's all they see, that's all they know. But on the other side of what they're doing, there could be a great individual in there. They just don't know it yet. You quiet over there.
Oh, I thought you were still going. But
no, I'm
I don't
done.
Want to make it about a – okay, I don't want to make it about a – because it's not a looks loss situation.
No. I'm just using that as an example. It's not. It could be anything. It's not just looks. It could be you could have the gift of gab. You could have anything. If you know how to cut someone out real good, you probably can encourage somebody real good just as easy. But we want to say, oh, he has a 50 mouth. They probably do because it's all they've been told. It's all they've been taught. But if you teach them another way, they could be just as good. Instead of cussing someone out to encourage someone, this is whether they can cuss someone out. That's really all what I'm saying. It don't have to be a beauty. It could be, there's some things that we have identified ourselves with. It could be beauty. It could be the way we talk. It could be the way we look. It could be the way we act. If we use it in a negative way, if we've been told negatively, there's always a positive to the negative. And if you look at the negative, more than likely it's not the purpose that God has for you. The purpose that God has for you is normally the opposite of what you're doing and how you're living. So if you're cussing people out and you're drinking and you're the life of the party, it's just the opposite. You can speak life into people, and you can be the life of the party on the Lord's side. And that's really all what we're trying to say, is that you're lost in your identity if you're not using it to serve the Lord all the way.
Once you
people,
accept, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Once you accept what?
Once you accept Christ, there's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You're no longer who you were. There should be a change in your identity. People should be able to recognize a change. Some things happen, boom, automatically. Some things may take a gradual process. But regardless, there should be some type of change. I don't care if it's just the way your attitude is or the way you start to cover up and dress more modest. Just something has to click in order for you to show that you are in a transition of changing from your old life to your new life. Because at the end of the day, when you accept the Lord as your Savior, you become part of his family. his family, the Lord's family. You're no longer a foreigner to the things of Christ. You're part of his family. Go ahead.
Well, I think you're going to like the analogy I'm about to break down, because the scripture you just read, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And for a lot of us, you know, it took us a long time to figure out who we were. And it's okay, as long as we figure it out. But for those that are listening, it's important that if you're new in Christ, or you've just been in Christ and you haven't found your way yet or your identity, you have to do it by the Word of God. You have to take in the Word of God on a daily basis. What happens is, I'm going to tell you our experience, because our experience is with kids. You can see them every day, and they look the same. But if you don't see them for maybe a week or 2 weeks, and when you see them, you can see that they have grown. You can see that they're growing. You can hear the little baby starting to put sentences together. But if you're with them every day, you don't see that growth. You don't see it. You don't hear it, because you're with them every day. And what I'm trying to say is, at some point, there ought to be some growth if you're getting a little bit of word. I ain't telling you to get a lot. I mean, you should get as much as you can, but just a little bit of work, you should see some type of growth. It may not be a lot, but there should be some type of growth month by month, you know, year by year. There should be some type of growth. If you've been in this 20 years and you still don't know who you are, you're not taking your walk with Christ seriously, because you're not growing and you're still in the baby stage. You know, there's people who've been saved just as long as I have, will cuss you out and then speak in tongues in the next minute. They have not grown.
Huh.
It was cute when you first got saved and you did it, because you were growing, but you have not grown. You're still an adolescent in a male or female body, still doing things that adolescents do. And that's why a lot of Christians do not know who they are truly, because they're not eating properly. They're not getting fed the Word of God properly, and they can't figure out who they are because they don't know how to find themselves, to feed themselves. So it's just very important that you get a daily dose of the Word, whether you go to Bible study or Sunday school, whatever it is, you got to listen to it. You got to study it on a daily basis in order to grow. Once you start to grow, you start to see what you were destined to become. Then you start to find out your true identity. Then you know that you are willfully and wonderfully made in Christ's image, and you're serving him to do his purpose and not your purpose. So if someone says you're beautiful, you need to thank the Lord, because the Lord made you beautiful. That's a blessing from God. Don't reject it. Don't get upset with it. You're beautiful. God made you that way. He designed you that way for a purpose. And if you don't know the purpose, it's just you don't have enough word in you to understand your destiny or your purpose. And that's pretty much all I want to say about that tonight. It's very easy. It's very simple. But it's very hard when you've been hearing all your life, you no good. You're going to end up like this. You're going to end up like that. When you hear that your whole life, then you accept that as your identity. I'm just a mess up. I'm just a screw up. Now, some people use that as an excuse. There's a lot of talented people, and you hear them say, you're very gifted, but they don't want to do anything with the gift. Now, that's a whole other story, because now you're just being lazy with what God blessed you with. It has nothing to do with being abused. It's just being lazy.
Let me just say something on that part right there. There are so many gifted and talented people. And the one thing that I love, you all should know by now, I love to sing. If I could sing like half these people, I would be singing all day. Like, oh, you need me to sing here? Oh, you need me to sing? I don't understand why you got to, when people can sing, to me personally, from what I noticed, when they have a beautiful voice, they have a gifted voice, it's like they don't want to sing. That's just my side note. Why y'all don't want to sing? Y'all sound good. You can sing anything, ABCs, it don't even matter. And it's like so beautiful. And it's like, y'all want to keep y'all's mouth shut. Please start singing and lifting up the name of the Lord with your beautiful voices. That's my side note, because there's too many people that got beautiful voices that keep them quiet. And people like me, like, ooh, let me do it, let me sing. But anyway, go ahead. That was my side note.
Well, just on the side note, we would love to hear you sing.
Whatever. Get jokes. All right, well, anyway, I'm going to keep on moving. You know, this is what the devil likes to do. He likes to take your past sins, and he likes to put them on replay in your mind. He likes to say, oh, remember when you did that, or he might make you feel like you're not worthy of something, or he likes to play with your mind, and he will use people to play with your mind. He will use people to throw things up in your face like, well, you said this when I was five, or you did this, and it's like they want to hold you where you were. They want you to stay in that stolen identity situation when you wasn't a part of Christ's kingdom. They want to hold you there. It's important that you keep the promises of God in the forefront of your mind. You have to keep everything that the Lord says about you in the forefront of your mind until you get it in your heart. So you keep it in your mind until it resonates in your heart and you can walk this thing out. Because if you don't, the enemy will continue to throw jabs and throw situations at you. And that's not who you are. That you don't live there. That's your old zip code. You moved on. So your home is in the Lord. It's not where they have you at. So just keep that in mind, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Bible said. You're the head, not the tail. And you can do all things through Christ. So that's my little encouragement for anybody that's listening. Please tune out the negative attitudes, tones that's coming your way. God has you. God is there for you. He wants the best for you. He calls you his son. He calls you his daughter. He calls you his child. If you don't want to hear anything else we say tonight, just know when you accepted the Lord into your life and you're being obedient to the word of God, you're his. The enemy can't do nothing but try to throw darts. But what's the scripture? The weapons that'll form, but they won't prosper. He can try all he wants to. But because you are a child of God, they're just going to bounce. They're going to keep bouncing off of you. So, you know, keep your head up and know that your identity rests in Christ. You're his child. That's where your identity rests. And I'm going to read one last scripture here. And we're not orphans anymore. We are not orphans. No matter how you grew up, if you grew up without a father, if you grew up without a mother, you grew up without family, you are not an orphan. Once you become a child of God, you have been adopted into his kingdom. You're adopted. We're adopted unto Christ. So I'm going to read Galatians 4:4-7. Then I'm going to let my lovely husband talk. So Galatians 4, starting at verse 4, and I'm going to go down to number 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. We are heirs. So hold your head up, stick your chest out, and act like it in the name of Jesus. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Don't do it in the name of yourself, but in the name of Jesus. Your identity is in Christ. No longer are you lost. No longer are you lost. You are found in Christ. So walk your true identity out. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead, husband.
You even said it in a nutshell. Lost and Found. Hopefully you found yourself. If you were lost tonight, we hope that you found yourself. If you was straddling the fence of what you really are, if you are destined to do great things, whatever you're doing, all you got to do is, if you're doing bad, stop and just do the opposite. That's basically it. If you're out there in the streets, you're hustling in the streets, okay, you can hustle in God's kingdom as well. If you're selling drugs and all that kind of stuff, you can sell the gospel. It's the same thing.
Well, not selling it, though.
So, well, I mean, sell the gospel. You know what I mean when I say sell the gospel.
We don't need no peddling going on. We're not peddling the word, but yeah, go ahead.
But if you can sell drugs, you can sell this gospel that who don't believe. You can make them a believer. You have the pitch. You have the swag to do that. And I do got to be careful with my words for people who are like, all over out there trying to sell the gospel. I don't mean it like that.
Yeah,
but
we're not
whatever you're
the gospel.
Doing. No. No. So just remember, it's not that hard. It may seem hard, easier said than done. I get it. We've all been there. We've all struggled with certain things. My wife, you heard her struggles. You heard my struggles. There's many different struggles out there. Went into you coming to the realization of being called by the Lord and being destined to do great things. Once you realize that, it makes your life that much easier because I don't live where I used to live anymore. My wife doesn't live where she used to live anymore. And it took a long time. You know, everyone's struggle is different. Some take longer than others. We get it, but the most important thing is we found it. We know our wealth. We know our worth. And we know who we can serve. And we know that everything that we have is good is from the Lord. And everything that we do, we're destined to do great things with the Lord. So with that being said, you know, that's really all we got tonight. You know, we wanted to be short and sweet to the point, lost and found. Hopefully you found yourself tonight. Hopefully we gave you something that you can be encouraged by and moved by and just say, to this day, I'm going to, you know, be destined to do great things in Jesus' name. I'm destined to do great things in Jesus' name. If you put that on there, slowly but surely, you'll start to see a difference. You'll start to grow because that's God's word, and his word will never come back void. Just keep saying it. You may not get it right today, but tomorrow's a whole new day. You might get it right tomorrow. And then the next, then you'll see it. Pretty much all we got. Again, D&K, we're going to take the month of December off. There may be, take the month of December off. Come January, we're going to have a whole new platform. It'll be the same old show, just a little different thing. And then I just want you to just keep us in prayer. Our weekly schedule is the same as you know as most weeks. Monday, D&K Bible Break, 7 p.m. Tuesday, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, 7 p.m. Wednesday, we have a vent break in the morning at 8 a.m. Also, at 9 p.m. on Wednesday, we have Watchmen on the Wall with Elder Bazaar and Overseer Timothy Jackson on Wednesday. On Friday, I have Pastor Sam, he does Friday for us over there in London and England and whoever listens in on Friday. So check him out Fridays at 7. He's on from 7 to 7:45 on Friday. Saturday, you have the Overseer, Timothy Jackson out of Dallas, Texas. He'll be on at 6 Central, 7 Eastern time on Saturdays. And then Sunday mornings, we have Praise Tabernacle Church with Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministry will be Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. That's our weekly schedule. Again, the month of December, D&K will be on vacation, holiday break. So just be aware of that. And we'll be back next Monday with another hot topic. We'll be ready to rumble about something. Don't know what yet, but just tune back in with us. come Monday, and then I'm going to have my wife open us up with prayer, and she's going to dismiss us with prayer. And I'm Sheldon Fletcher. He's going to give you a website. If you have any questions, comments, or anything you want us to know, she'll give you the email address, and you can address us there. And that's all I got for you.
All right. I was a little confused. I'm like, what's the website address? I didn't get that. But I feel you. I got
you
the email.
The email.
I got it. All right. Any praise reports? You can send those to ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, F-O-R, Christ@gmail.com. So send those. Also, my husband already went over the weekly announcements. We ask that you continue to keep us lifted up in prayer. And also, I know we said this a number of times. If you have a subject, if you have something you want to discuss, bring it to us. We will be happy to discuss it. If you need to come on and bring it yourself, if you want us to, you know, go over everything with you and we can all talk it out, let us know. We'll be happy to, you know, to add that in there. All right, so since we don't have any more announcements, I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer.
One more thing. Okay. I'm so sorry. I was on mute. I was trying to stop you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You just made that last announcement about someone wanting us to discuss something. And we are going to discuss it in a matter of a couple of weeks. But a gentleman came up to me, heard the show, and asked me a question, and he wanted us to bring it to the table. And it was, who have it harder, men or women? And I answered the question. I said, I think women have it harder. And he kind of went off on me and said, men have it harder. And he wants to bring it on the D&K show. And he wants to give me all the reasons why he think men have it harder than women. So I'm looking to do it before December gets here. I was going to do it on a chaos show, but I think I'm going to keep it biblical and I ain't going to say religious, but spiritual and go, because he was really, really he had some good points. I didn't like him, but it's just my opinion. But he thought men have it harder than women, and I just didn't like his argument that he had for the men. So we may be doing that. So if you do have something that you want us to talk about, I'm going to do with this gentleman, we will be addressing that. I'm sorry. Go ahead and dismiss us.
No, that would have been a good topic. So I look forward to that show. That's going to be a good topic. All right, Father God, we come to you this evening asking for forgiveness for anything that we've done wrong, said, anything that was unpleasing in your sight. We ask that you search us and help us to continue to grow in you, remove anything that's not like you, creating us a clean heart and renew the right spirit. We ask that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we ask that you continue to be a guidance for us throughout this week. Let your spirit lead us, let your spirit guide us, and just keep us aware of what's going on around us and how we react to situations. Let your light continue to shine through us, and let your Holy Spirit continue to rest upon us as well as within us. Ask that you continue to keep our families covered under your precious blood, and ask that you continue to just allow us to return once again unto your people on next week, if it is your will. These things we ask in your precious Son's name. Everyone have a great night and a great week. Amen. Good night.